Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer but moving to action, and about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. And they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Today, there is equivocation inside the body of Christ on several issues. But one of those issues is on the issue of masculinity. Yes, we're going to talk about that today. It's okay to be a man. And if you're listening to me today, you're probably laughing because you know exactly what that means. It's okay to be a man. In fact, there is a reason men are in the world, and we need to reclaim that place, that rightful place, in God's order. Many people will try to take that out of context, but they can't, because being a man not only means loving as Christ did, it also means laying your life down for others. And so the ultimate example of what it means to be a man is Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay his life down for his friends. And today, any sort of confrontation, any sort of danger, should be met by men. Real men. Courageous men. I heard somebody mention to me the other day that they wanted to be in a place where there were courageous men. And I think we as men all long for that. We all long for that. And I think women long for that as well. Men to be real men, be the spiritual head of the house, actually pray and do communion together and pray together. To make the tough decisions, to take responsibility even for things that they didn't do, just as Christ did on the cross. And yes, hear what I just said. Ultimately, men take responsibility for things they did not do, because that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. It's their place, their family. And we have today an attempt by the culture to destroy anything masculine. And if you have never read this, and some of you have heard me mention this book on the show before, but if you've never read this book, it's only 27 pages. You can find it online for free, PDF. Read it in a night. But the book is called The Fate of Empires by Sir John Bagot Glubb, G-L-U-B-B. This is written back, I think, in the 70s. Sir John Bagot Glubb, puts forward the idea that empires actually have a cycle, a historic cycle, and usually it's about 250 years for the whole cycle. Now, that doesn't mean it's exactly 250 years, but it means that that's the window. Now, by the way, just for the sake of what we're talking about today, that comes up for the United States of America very quickly, actually. It comes up here 2025-2026 timeframe. So the point with it is, though, that in that analysis of empires, Sir John Bagot Glubb lays out that in the fall of all great civilizations, part of it was the attempt to emasculate men, that real men, men that like to hunt, that like to fish, that like to get dirty, that like to go into the deep woods, that like to do those things, that gets shunned. That men who know how to handle a gun get shunned, or a sword back in the day. And today, this shunning of masculinity has allowed a culture of passive aggressiveness to take hold everywhere in our communities, in our families, when we are actually supposed to, as men, reclaim the rightful place, and that is where there is confrontation, we need to be the one confronting. I like to call this aggressive aggressiveness instead of passive aggressiveness. And not the idea of being aggressive as an overbearing, but the idea in approaching something with a very clear, purposed meekness, power under control. That's what meekness means. It doesn't mean weakness. It doesn't mean sitting there. It means power under control, but still confronting and contending for the faith and confronting the evil that is in front of us. And so we need to be aggressive, aggressive. We need to be direct. We need to be on the offense as part of the kingdom. Passive aggressiveness is a symptom of the emasculation of the American male. Some call it the wussification of the American male. And so how do we reclaim our culture, our heritage as Christian and as men? Well, let's start with being real men again. It's okay to go do some of these things in the woods. It's okay to shoot guns. It's okay to do all of the things that men were supposed to do. And I love the way my dad used to put this. He called this kind of the whole man. And the idea was being able to write poetry, play music, serve in the military and understand war, and be able to shoot and fish and hunt and, you know, everything from gut and skin a deer to gut a fish, and to also take those back home and prepare the meat, and also on top of that, fix a car and help build part of a house. And it was all of these things all together. That was the well-rounded man, somebody that wasn't afraid to read, somebody that wasn't afraid to be the head of the household spiritually, somebody that wasn't afraid to confront evil, somebody that wasn't afraid to call out injustice, somebody that wasn't afraid to stand on the line for their family and their country, somebody that wasn't afraid to be a man. Real men are what's needed in this time. And real men, in large part, have been silent here for many years, watching and waiting for a time when people will realize that, yes, masculinity is part of a healthy culture, that the masculine heritage of America, the Irish and the Scottish and the Germans and the Swedes and the Italians and all these people on the railroad, including the Chinese, that came across the West. Some of the folks that had been recently freed as slaves that came across the West to settle in a land that was at that time inhospitable according to normal standards of Western Europe. But they did it because it was the manly thing to do, to establish Western civilization in a place that people said it couldn't be established, or that it would be very hard to establish. but it was also because they wanted to live free. I love the story of the Irish and Thomas Francis Marr, the great Irish patriot who created the Irish tricolor flag, and actually within two generations, the Irish had freedom. And he was one of the first territorial governors of Montana. In fact, his statue is outside of Helena to this day. They called this part of the country, the American Redoubt, they called it New Ireland. And they said that the manly thing to do was to make sure that their posterity would never again live in chains. They would never again be deprived of the right to bear arms. In other words, in Ireland at that time, they were not allowed to own swords, that they were not allowed to own property. They weren't allowed to speak their language. And then this manly idea coming across the West was that shall never happen again. And we will put things in place to make sure our posterity lives free. And we will pass on our wisdom and our knowledge to the next generation. Manly wisdom, manly knowledge to the next generation to ensure, very clearly, to ensure that our freedom would live on. To ensure that our freedom would live on. Obviously, I'm focusing just on men, but I want to do that because I believe the American man or and manliness has been forgotten, has been left behind, has been trampled on. And it is something that is core, it is key to regaining liberty, is regaining our manhood, regaining our masculinity, regaining that ideal that we would rather die than live in chains, and that we would be willing to lay our lives down as men to make sure that the next generation would live free, just like Jesus Christ himself did when he laid his life down on the cross to make sure that we would all experience true freedom. That is an example, I think, that we can embrace. I think it's an example that we need to recapture. I think it's an example that we can't be afraid to talk about. There is a book that was put out called by Joseph, I believe is Piper or Pfeiffer, either way. It was called Abuse of Language, Abuse of Power. And what they have done is they have made anything masculine effeminate in the language to try to abuse that for the purpose of power. Being a patriot is suddenly bad. Well, when did that happen, right? Being a man who hunts is suddenly bad. Why did that happen? Right? They do this and they twist the language so that they can abuse power. That's the purpose of it. And it's our job as men to say, not one inch further. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, a little bit going on in the Middle East, mainly, and this coming to us from Deb Kofile, mainly it looks like they're trying to continue to gin this crisis up with Iran. So we're going to keep our eyes on that. Not a lot of new news, but it looks like they're going to continue to do that. On the national front, New Mexico legislature makes abortion on demand permanent. On Friday, the New Mexico legislature passed a bill guaranteeing unlimited abortion in the state, regardless of the fate of Roe versus Wade. So they must be getting nervous, by the way. Wow. So New Mexico is essentially enshrining death. This is coming to us from the New American. Also, on the national front, Biden's attorney general pick drops grenade, cites Capitol bombing. Merrick Garland said this: I think the first thing I should do as part of my briefings on the Capitol bombing are briefings with Director Ray as to where he sees the biggest threat. Okay, wait for it. I wonder where that is. But wait a minute. What did he say? Capitol bombing? Was that what they were actually trying to do originally? And it failed? That's fascinating. That's really fascinating. So either he was intentionally lying that it was a bombing trying to shade public opinion, or they knew of something that actually failed, which was their original plot. Interesting. Okay, so the point is, though, on this, that the enemy that they're trying to cite is, of course, anybody who believes the Constitution means what it says, and anybody who's a Christian. A real Christian. Bible-believing, water-baptized, spirit-filled. Okay. Which brings us to Liberty Sentinel. The coming economic collapse and social credit score for all. This is super interesting to me, anyway. Essentially, now, and Liberty Sentinel has talked about this quite a bit, they want to speed up an economic collapse, that's the first part of this, within the next year so that they can blame it on Trump. Think back to the Roosevelt-Herbert Hoover time frame, okay? Even though that was that whole economic debacle back then, and even continuing to this day, is due to the horrific and really deceitful policies of the Federal Reserve. Deceitful in the sense that they don't follow the laws of economics. Okay, so the coming economic collapse, they're trying to speed this up, this so-called Great Reset, which is a collapse of the economy. It's trying to speed this up. But the part of it that they want to implement is this social credit score for all. In other words, they want to take the Chinese model of oppression and repression and institutionalize it worldwide, which is why it was so important when the control over the internet was given to the United Nations body, or the internet, it's more appropriately, an international body, to issue domains, et cetera, et cetera. Well, eventually, just like the Chinese are doing right now, they deplatform, they ban certain domains. That's where they want to head with this, the social credit score for all. And it's going to take courage of people who are in places that they can prevent this from happening to actually stand up during this time. Now, the other part of this with the social credit score is this isn't just, you know, like a normal credit score that you would get when you're buying a home or a car. They want to add in your social media posts and rank you according to their communist status quo. And one of the county commissioners here in Spokane County, and this was on video, it was captured, actually suggested that something akin to this social credit score system should be used for tracking businesses and how they're complying with the governor's order. Instead of saying, which they should if they really believe in the Constitution, they really believe their oath of office, they should have said no. We're going to stand against the unconstitutional actions of the governor. But alas, they did not. I think it's also important to understand that this isn't a Democrat-Republican issue. This is a socialist-Marxist statist issue. And what we're running into is we're seeing rhinos now being unmasked. Marco Rubio wants to confiscate guns without due process. This is coming to us from Readout News. It's called the Terror Intelligence Improvement Act. It says that anybody that is being investigated, not charged, not found guilty, not with probable cause, just being investigated, should lose their Second Amendment rights. Really? I think they're going to learn where the repository of freedom is in rural America with such asinine ideas like that. Incredible. Also coming to us from the New American. So that's the attack on the Second Amendment. And it's happening here in Washington, too. They're trying to attack the right to bear arms. They'd have to actually amend the Constitution of the state to do that, but they think they can get around it with law. And it's going to be up to us again to say, no, you don't get to do that today. All right. And if you haven't read about the book called The Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates by Matt Truella, check that book out. It's fantastic. We're going to probably try to get Matt on the show here soon because it really gives you a great strategy for pushing back at the local level and the questions that you should be asking your local elected officials. Why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't the county commissioners doing anything against Governor Inslee? Oh, they can't. There's too much money involved. Nah, nah, nah. You know, it's just not, it's just, it's a bogus straw man argument. Why are elected officials at the local level not saying, no, you guys don't get to do that. It's clearly unconstitutional. We're standing against that. Now, in Missouri, coming to us from multiple news sources, but in Missouri, they actually passed a law that said if federal agents try to come in and do these kind of unconstitutional things, like seizing firearms, that the county sheriff does have the full imprimatur of the state to arrest those people. You heard that right. The agents coming in trying to act against the Constitution. That's the idea of the doctrine of lesser magistrates, that every person takes an oath, that's an elected official, takes an oath to the Constitution and their state constitution and is held to an individual standard, regardless of what anybody else is doing around them, to uphold the Constitution. So it doesn't matter that all the people above them are violating the Constitution. Are they upholding the Constitution and standing in the gap? And by the way, this was confirmed at the Nuremberg trials following World War II when the Nazis were tried. The Nazis' excuse was Befehl ist Befehl, and I hear that quite a bit from some elected officials that they just have to go along to get along. They have to follow the orders of the governor. Well, the Germans actually were told that that is not an excuse, Befehl ist Befehl, that an order is an order, that actually you're held to an individual standard regardless of what anybody else is doing around you. That you have to do the right thing regardless of what anybody else is doing around you. And we actually taught this in the United States Army when we were deploying as part of our just war theory training. This was the training, by the way, that they tried to turn into something nefarious, which I find still hilarious. The point with it was every individual is held to a moral standard that they must uphold. In addition to the oath to the Constitution. And that's why when Rand Paul and Thomas Massie and some of these guys voted the wrong way, they missed the point that every person has a duty to stand against wickedness wherever they're at. And tyranny is wickedness. Let me say it again. Tyranny is wickedness. Which brings us now to another article from the New American. House Democrats launch attack on First Amendment with a letter hearing on the spread of misinformation. So they're going to attack. See, this is Orwellian newspeak. They say the opposite of what they mean. They are trying to stop the spread of misinformation, but it ends up being actually an attack on the right of free speech. This hearing was in the House Energy and Commerce Committee, because that has a lot to do with it, and it was called, quote, fanning the flames, disinformation, and extremism in the media, end quote. Obviously not talking about the media's covering or lack of coverage or intentional disinformation regarding Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the Socialist Rifle Association, Redneck Revolt, and the John Brown Gun Club. They're obviously, you know, not talking about that. That would be actual domestic terrorism, or the Muslim Brotherhood and all of their proxy organizations in the United States. They're talking about patriots. And they want to now begin to, under this guise, crack down on free speech. And the problem, the reason they've got to do that is because we're able to get the truth out. And they know it, and we're exposing their communism, we're exposing their terrorism, we're exposing their plans. And so this is one of the reasons, actually, that terrestrial radio has grown massively, AM and FM, because people want to hear the truth, and they know it's the truth. All the primary source documents that expose this stuff, but These communists can't take that. They have to attack free speech and ratchet free speech down, because free speech ultimately wins out. It's a battle for ideas. Which brings us to the last thing, and this is more on the regional front. The Earth is cooling as radical greens continue to fight global warming. We talked about this 3 years ago, about the global cooling cycle, the fact that we were going into what is called a Maunder minimum. But the fact is, it's a minimum. It's a solar cycle decline. And that inevitably leads to a cooling period. This coming to us from Technocracy News. Thousands of low temperature records have fallen across North America during these past few days alone, with record snowfall accompanying the cold, driving the continent's snow cover extent to unprecedented levels. Through December 2020 and January 2021, satellite-based temperature of the global lower atmosphere revealed that the Earth cooled dramatically and has now dropped below the 1979 through 2000 average. Again, primary source documents. Actual facts, not agendas for control and power. I hope everybody is understanding this. Now, and part of this, too, one of the interesting pictures was this picture of a bread line in Texas, because Texans were lined up outside a grocery store amid a winter storm. Wow. Well, what we believe, what we know to be true, we need to pass on. We need to continue to develop these information networks outside of the fake news media so that the truth can get out. Because when the truth is out, Americans make the right decision, and these Marxists and communists cannot win. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, you can visit Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon, among others. Also, if you haven't already, set up a Gab social media account. If you're on social media, you have to be on social media. Set up a Gab social media account. And they actually have a browser now called Dissenter. So check those things out. It's a very solid platform now. Andrew Torba, he is a kingdom-minded Christian family man. And also, they started this a year ago when they tried to deplatform Gab, making their network resilient. And so when it came around this time, they were ready. So it is the most solid platform that is out there right now. All right, it is my pleasure to introduce John Bennett. He is the Vice President of Understanding the Threat, fantastic organization. And he also is a former Oklahoma House of Representatives legislator who did some pretty interesting things, and I hope he gets to tell us a little bit about those in the Oklahoma House. And I dare I say, he might have actually been treated worse by the fake news media than myself. So, John, thanks again for joining me on Patriot Radio. I hope you're doing well, my friend.
Doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me tonight. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your background, especially in the Oklahoma House, before we get into the rest of this stuff.
I guess I could start from the beginning, because it really prepared me for the things that I saw in politics, which is just unbelievable. People would be very upset if they knew what went on behind closed doors. But I spent 21 years in the Marines, served in combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, which no doubt prepared me for what I was going to experience in the House of Representatives. It's just a cesspool of not all of them, but let's be honest, most of them are just self-preserving, self-centered people that like power and control. And that's what I dealt with. And while in the House of Representatives, I used it as a platform to talk about the threats, one of the greatest threats to our constitutional republic today, and that's the global Islamic threat as well as the communist threat. And I was very bold and open about it, and because of it, I had my own fellow Republicans come after me. I had the news media, which is just a propaganda arm for the communists. They came after me 10 ways from Sunday, and it was just brutal. I mean, you would have thought that I was running a puppy mill to kill puppies or something, the way they treated me. It was just unbelievable. You, of all people, I think, can understand that because they did the same thing to you. But it was quite an experience there. I decided to move on. I term limited myself, decided to move on into a different area to where I could have a larger impact, a more successful impact to help preserve and protect our constitutional republic.
So now you're also an Assembly of God pastor as well, and I kind of want to get into this. How you've been traveling around talking about the threat to the United States of America, and if we could just talk briefly about that, and especially in a way that pastors can hear it, you know, this feckless leadership in the church has become quite annoying and frustrating, and I'm sure you've experienced it as well. But really, some of this stuff really has to start in the church, and they have to understand the threat to this country. So go ahead.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you bringing that up, Matt, because if there's any pastors listening or any board members or church members that are listening, they should encourage their pastor to get involved, because the real leaders of the community is not our elected officials. It's not whatever most people assume that it is. The real leaders are the pastors, and I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor. I'm saying that because they have a large responsibility to speak the truth boldly and in love. And when it comes to our God-blessed nation, a nation that was built upon biblical values, we've got to stand and fight for that. I do it from my pulpit. I encourage my fellow pastors to do the same. And it's our responsibility and calling to do that. And I tell you, there's no better example. Two things. One, I think it's found in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And that tells us that there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for everything under heaven, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, I'm not sure if you all are familiar with who Reverend John Peter Muhlenberg was, but he was one of our founding fathers. And in the 1770s, he pastored two churches out of Virginia. He was also a member of the Virginia State Legislature. And in 1776, when he was in legislative session and war with Great Britain was looming on the horizon, he returned home to his churches. In that same year, he stood in his pulpit and he delivered what was to become his farewell sermon. And he concluded that sermon with these words. He said, in the language of the Holy Writ, there was a time for all things, a time to preach and a time to pray, but those times have passed away. Then in a loud voice, he pointed to Ecclesiastes verse 8, and he yelled, there's a time to fight, and that time has come now. And after he got done with that, he bowed his head, and he offered a dismissal prayer. But instead of going to his usual custom of going to the vestry room after his sermon and taking his robe off, he began to disrobe right there in front of his congregation. And when he finally shed his clerical robes, he stood before them in full uniform of a military officer. He descended the pulpit with his weapons in hand, and he marched to the back of the church, reminding his parishioners that if they did not get involved to protect their liberties, they would have no liberties left to protect. I couldn't tell you how many times I've told that story to citizens or even pastors, and they've never heard it. But that was one of our founding fathers, and we're at that point today. And if our pastors and Christians don't stand up and fight for righteousness and stand up and fight for liberties, which we enjoy because our real freedom comes from God, if we don't stand and fight for that, we're going to lose this constitutional republic. And I don't mince words about it, and I go around all through the states with that same message and try to encourage other pastors and Christians to stand up, because if we don't, we won't have any liberties left. And without any liberties, that means no church services. That means we will be getting persecuted for even mentioning the name of Christ. And so now's the time to stand and fight.
I want to dovetail on that part of it. now is the time to stand and fight. What is coming against this country in a very brief nutshell? A lot of the listeners have heard me talk about this, but I want to hear your summary. What is coming against this country, and is it real? I've heard a lot of people say, Antifa is just a bunch of young college kids that are just upset. Come on, give them a break. That's really not true.
Yeah, absolutely, it's not true. I mean, this is what we're seeing in society today is the intentional outcome of 100 years of a communist infiltration into our schools, our churches, the seminaries, in all facets of government. And not only that, we have another global threat that is working hand in hand with the communist movement. Even though these two enemies, they're completely ideologically opposed in their beliefs. For example, the communists, they support the LGBTQ movement. Muslims are commanded to kill by Allah himself, to kill the LGBTQ type people. So they're completely opposed to each other, but they're working together at the ground level all the way up to the international level. They're working together against our constitutional republic, our nation as a whole. And they both movements are targeting the Christian principles that this country was built upon. Now, so many say, well, there's a separation of church and state, and well, they get all that wrong. They don't know the real history of it. The real facts and histories of our nation, it was in fact founded on Christianity. It was founded on the laws of nature and nature's God, as the Declaration of Independence tells us, and it's legally defined at the time of our founding as the will of God and Holy Scripture, which we can find in Blackstone's commentaries. And our founders believed it was the role of government to encourage Christianity among the people, and it was the duty of the people to elect Christians as their leaders. So it's only natural, and when you understand that, you can understand why the communists, which hate Christianity, and the Islamic movement, which hate Christianity, they are working together, and they're both specifically targeting Christianity, because if they can erode the foundation of what this country was built upon, then it makes it so much easier to crumble, and they can implement communism, Marxism, or Sharia, which is the intentions of those two movements, respectively.
It is, no question about it. And let's talk a little bit about some of the ways that we can fight back as Americans who love a constitutional republic. I think that that's absolutely critical to understand that this is the time we're in, and that we are in a fourth-generation warfare time, that there are different levels of warfare that are happening, information, political warfare, all of these things. So just kind of with a broad question there, if you could.
Yeah, there's so much to it, but I'll generalize it to keep it short, but enough where people can understand. We have during the election, this presidential election, which in my mind was clearly stolen. What we have is the successful outcome of a communist coup. We have Joe Biden, who has clear and longstanding ties with China and Russia. I mean, Council for a Livable World, for instance, they are an organization that was started by a Russian KGB agent. We have the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, which has branched off into other organizations, communist organizations, freely working inside the United States. He has strong ties to all of them. And as you can see, it's all unfolding right in front of our eyes today. He signed like 50-something executive orders. He's going after our First Amendment rights. They're the Democrat Congress, the Communist Congress, I call them. They're have filed bills to do away with what they call, quote-unquote, hate speech. That is a direct attack on your First Amendment rights. So they control the narrative, and they shut you down whenever you speak the truth about our founding or what they're actually doing and what we should be doing as patriots. So So they're attacking that, and they're coming. They're shutting down free speech. They're shutting down the right to assembly. They're shutting down the right for us to go to church, which we saw during the COVID pandemic that they came out with. I mean, blatantly persecuting the Christian church and shutting it down. That's all intentional. I mean, it's an all-out political warfare. It's an all-out. Our government is using our federal agents to come at agencies to come after each and every one of us. Just a couple of weeks ago, the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, John Brennan, he spoke on MSNBC, and he stated that the Biden team is moving in laser-like fashion to get this, I quote, to identify religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, and even libertarians, who constitute, in Brendan's words, a great threat to the republic, and said the civilian enforcement intelligence agencies, as well as the military, are and should be working to root out this threat. Now, who do you think they're talking about? When they say violent extremists and those that are coming against the U.S. government, they're talking about constitutionally minded patriots. They're talking about all of us. Just for simply talking out against them, you could be labeled as a violent extremist. So we see them coming at us politically. We see them coming at us in a military fashion. And they're all doing it. They're doing that to keep us busy. And at the same time, they're incrementally pushing and getting past laws that do away with our Second Amendment rights, which, let's just be real here, the only thing that's keeping them from an all-out communist takeover is the fact that patriots have Second Amendment rights, and they're afraid of that. So what are they doing? They have filed bills to tax us to death for having weapons. They're taking away your ability or making it illegal to have high-capacity magazines. They're trying to take away the right from one private gun owner to sell a weapon to another private gun owner. They're taking away their ability to sell at the gun shows without getting NICS checks and all kinds of other things. I mean, it's just unreal how they're coming after our constitutionally protected rights, which are, by the way, are our unalienable rights guaranteed to us. The Constitution just protects those rights, and that's the government's job to protect them. But we see the government being weaponized against us patriots and those that are using our constitutional rights to protect ourselves. I mean, it's just an all-out war on who we are as a nation and as a people.
It is. There's no question about it. And we have to fight back on the political level as well. So if you could weigh in on that, how do we fight back, you know, against the political warfare, against the information warfare, and against some of the other things that are going on in our country as well?
That's a great point you bring up, Matt, and I'm glad you asked that, because I think your listeners really need to hear this. We all need to completely forget about the federal government. They are the enemy. They are using everything they can politically and otherwise to shut us all down. When they went after President Trump, for instance, both impeachments were a sham. The second one was a greater sham than the first one. What I mean by that is, I'll just give you this example. Our Constitution clearly states that if a president is tried to be impeached, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court must be present. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was nowhere in sight. It was just a sham impeachment. They knew they weren't going to convict him because they couldn't, and they couldn't do it legally. What they were doing was sending all of us a message to say, look, if we do this to the President of the United States, what do you think we're going to do to you if you come against us? So now the federal government in its full capacity is coming after us. So how do we defend against this? Because they wield a lot of power. I say forget about the federal government side, and what I mean by that is we all, as patriots, we need to come together collectively. I would say with the Republican Party right now, because the Republican Party is what their platform is, what represents who we are, even though some of the Republican representatives or senators or those elected officials are not abiding by what we actually believe in. Those are the ones we need to target and get rid of. But what we need to do is first, at the ground level, I'm talking about from the city council members, your city mayors, your school boards, city managers, all those that are elected locally, we need to put in Christian, solid Christian conservative patriots in those positions. So recruit, support, and make sure we put people at the local level, cities and counties, all the way up to statewide elected officials, your state reps and state senators, governor, attorney generals, those that are elected. Make sure that those people are Christ-centered constitutional patriots. And as we do that and we start at the ground level and work our way up to the state level, then and only then can we as a state, whatever state you live in, have the power and ability to tell the federal government, if it's outside of those 18 enumerated powers that you're given constitutionally, you stay out of our state and out of our business. And it, by the way, and if you come in here and try to overreach into our state, we're going to have our sheriff, which is constitutionally elected, throw your federal agents and whomever else you send in jail. And then, as we wall off our states individually, then we can start working with other states, Texas, Oklahoma, Oregon, whatever other states, Arkansas, Kansas, whatever other states are doing the same as we are. As we come together and band together, we can tell the federal government, stay out of our business, because if you mess with us, you're going to mess with these other states as well. Right now, that is the only path that I see that we can actually get to save our states, actually save and preserve our constitutional republic, because it's not going to happen at the federal level. And our founding fathers specifically made the states more powerful than the federal government for such times as we're seeing today. That's why they give us the 10th Amendment. That's why they give us the power to govern ourselves and give the states rights, and the states the ability to stand together and fight the overreach of the federal government.
Much of what we're facing today is an information war as well. And, you know, fake news media tries to demonize anybody who believes the Constitution means what it says, which usually targets veterans who have put their lives on the line for the Constitution. We have a lot of media outlets out there that are covering up for Antifa. They're covering up for Black Lives Matter and the Socialist Rifle Association, et cetera. They're covering up for the Muslim Brotherhood. How do we fight back in this information war?
That's very interesting you bring that up, and it's true. They are. The mainstream media today is the propaganda arm of the communist movement. I mean, that's a fact. Any support or air cover they need, it comes from the mainstream media. So when Antifa and BLM, which, by the way, if you don't know, you should do your own research, but BLM, Black Lives Matter, is not about black lives. The issue is never about the issue. BLM was started by, well, this is a fact, three lesbians, self-professed lesbians, which all three had positions, very high positions in communist organizations, the Freedom Road Socialist organizations, and offshoots of those. They were all heads of those organizations, and these are all known communist Marxist organizations. And they've actually, it's out on YouTube if it hasn't been deleted yet, the founders all say, they have said that they are in fact trained Marxists. And just to drive home the point that BLM is not about, their organization is not about black lives. If they were, then BLM would have not have partnered with Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, which was started by Margaret Sanger, and she herself said that she started Planned Parenthood to completely eradicate the black race. And they, Planned Parenthood has been killing black children or black unborn babies and white unborn babies, all unborn babies, for years, and has killed millions of them. So if BLM was really about black lives, they would have not partnered with Planned Parenthood, which you can find on their website, where they have even stated they have partnered with each other. If BLM really cared about black lives, then they would go to Chicago and riot in Chicago or protest in Chicago against the black-on-black deaths that stack up every single week and weekend in Chicago. But Antifa and BLM are just movements of these communist movements. So how do we fight this in this information battle space, this narrative that they're pushing? One way to do that is for all of you all to find places where you can find real factual information. And there's places out there. UnderstandingTheThreat.com. You have KeyWiki, which is Trevor Loudon's website. It's very in-depth and factual about the communist movement. You need to support people like Matt Shea and his radio station. He's putting out the truth, but they will come against him and try to shut him down like they have for many, many years, because they don't want the truth out there, because the truth will set us free, and they don't want that truth out there. So those are just some ways that we can fight this. I mean, if you have the financial means, maybe we need to put up on billboards or do advertisements through Patriot radio shows like Matt Shea's that tells the truth to their listeners so they can spread that truth to others. But more so than anywhere, these pastors need to be telling their congregations. They need to tell them that BLM, Antifa, the communist movement, all of the Islamic movements, they are completely antithetical to the Christian cause and biblical principle, everything that they're doing. So the pastors need to be speaking this truth boldly and in love from the pulpit as well.
Last 2 minutes that we have left, especially for the younger generation who doesn't believe these threats are real, what is your message to the younger generation right now about, well, socialism isn't that bad? I mean, come on, you guys are kind of older. You really don't know what you're talking about. How do we break through to that, and what is your message to them?
I would just tell the younger generations, you really can't have a good a moral compass until you have a foundation for that. So I would encourage you young men and women, find a good Bible-based church first. Now, once your foundation circles around the laws of nature, nature's God, which is the Word of God and God's will, then and only then can you have a real true compass of where you're at in life. After you do that, then I would encourage you to seek finding God's Word and compare that to what these movements are actually saying and doing. What's really behind them? Research them and then compare those. And if they are against the Word of God, which they are, then you got to make a decision. Which are you going to support? You want to support real truth that's never been found wrong, which is the Word of God, or are you going to go with organizations or a movement or an ideology that leads to death and destruction? Because communism in any country that the Islamic movement has taken control and implemented Sharia, it has led to nothing but death and destruction. And that is historically accurate. So I would encourage you all, find a good Bible-based church first, and then hang out with fellow patriots that love God, they love this country, and they love their family, and they want to stand and fight for righteousness. And if you can do that, then you can actually make a difference for your children's future, because one day you'll have one. And if we don't do it, we're going to lose this God-blessed nation that we have today. And they're not going to grow up in the same nation that you and I did.
Very well said. John Bennett, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Blessings to you, and keep up the fight.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, and God bless you.
All right. John Bennett, Vice President, Understanding the Threat, also former Oklahoma state representative. and a Marine. See, we bring Marines on the show. It's not just Army stuff, okay? And I hope that some of you out there are laughing right now. Anyway, I want to highlight again, if you have never heard of Understanding the Threat, go to UTT. It's understandingthethreat.com, and you can find they have a library of resources, particularly on the Islamic threat and the history behind it, but also on the communist threat and how these two have dovetailed together. Understandingthethreat.com. One of the biggest examples of that is the Squad, where you have Marxists and Islamists working together. Black Lives Matter, founded by Marxists. They call themselves trained Marxists. Money that's flowed in to that through Freedom Road Socialist Organization. And, yes, even indirectly, the Chinese were supporting this because it was disrupting the United States of America. I know that might be shocking to some of you. But the fact is that if we do understand the threat, we know we need to do something about it. And it's got to start at the local level. Everything is local. There's a quote out there that all politics is local, but everything local is politics. And I think that captures everything quite well. What we face are people that either are going to have the backbone to do the right thing or not. They're either going to stand up for the Constitution or they're not. They're either going to choose the Lord and righteousness and his path or not. There is no more middle ground. People must choose. We should expect our elected officials to do the right thing. And we should also expect each other to stand up right now in this hour to defend freedom and liberty. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And may God bless all of you. May you make this generation the greatest one, and keep up the fight.